That's the election today in Wisconsin. California, Illinois. Those states are dealing with politicians that have promised a great deal to their public sector employees. And they have justified these promises and made them look like they could be kept with very rosy projections. But sooner or later, as you keep kicking the can down the road ends, and you've got to tell the truth. Veronique Desrougiers is going to do just that. Senior fellow at the Mercatus Institute, Mercatus Center at George Mason University, outstanding writer and editor of Reason magazine. And Veronique, great to be with you. Your work on public pensions and exposing what is going to be a front page story at some point for all who have all the municipalities, all the states who have made these promises and are unable to keep them. But you've found out that, or you tell us that these projections are off. They're too rosy, and there's a day of reckoning. What specifically do you mean?
Hi. Well, actually, I shouldn't get credit for the work of my colleague, Eileen Norcross, and also, I mean, other economists have looked at these issues, but what is clear is what you've said is exactly right. Most municipalities and states will soon have to face the truth that they have made large promises and they have not funded them. And so, for instance, what states and local governments are commonly doing is that they are assuming that, you know, they really don't have to put down as much money down for the pension that they've promised, because they assume that it's a very, you know, their investments, I mean, they represent a very, very low risk. And they assume very large interest rate, that they can expect very, very large interest rates on their investment. But of course, as you and I know, and anyone who's ever invested any money on a money market account knows, the safest the so-called investment is, the lower the interest rate is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
these guys have made for years projected that their investment will actually return them some 8.5 or 8% every single year. And as a result, they've actually totally underfunded their pensions.
So what happens to the people that are living off these pensions who are no longer in their, you know, years that they're retired, they're in their senior years, not saying they couldn't work, but they haven't planned on it, and they're counting on that pension to make ends meet?
Well, I mean, it's happened. I think it was in Alabama when one of the municipality had to declare bankruptcy based because of pensions couldn't be funded. And what happened there is that your checks weren't sent. That's what happened. And so for there's a big debate right now in Warwick, Rhode Island, where the mayor of the town has been, you know, has been proven over and over again that what we call the discount rate is that he's been using is way, way, way too high, and that he should reduce it just basically to reflect the low return on the investment that were made, and they're fighting it. And as a result, I mean, the city and the state of Rhode Island is probably going to see its pension be completely broke within the next 5 to 10 years. And it's the same. Illinois is the same. I mean, I think there's something like 18 states that face this this pretty, you know, grim outlook.
When states face or countries face a financial crisis, we've heard the terms through austerity. And we've also heard in relation to our federal deficit, we look at the balanced approach to solve it. So first off, explain give me the definition of austerity in the sense of the programs that were introduced.
The definition for economists of austerity, and it's a really bad one, I have to say. I mean, I wish we had a different word for the different type of austerity measures, is measures that reduce the debt-to-GDP ratio. And you can do this in different way. You can reduce your debt-to-GDP ratio by cutting spending, by increasing taxes, if you can, or by doing a mix of both. Economists have shown that the kind of austerity measure that produced growth and definitely reduced the debt-to-GDP ratio are the one that are made exclusively of spending cuts. But what governments in Europe have done is what Obama wants to do here is that they've engaged in very, very little spending cuts, and instead they've increased taxes dramatically. And that economists have shown not only doesn't reduce the debt-to-GDP ratio, but is more likely to trigger big economic contractions.
Okay, so, Veronique, we hear about, hey, look, we're going to cut spending, but we're also going to raise taxes because that's warm and fuzzy and nice because it's balanced. Tell me, is that the best approach?
No, it's not the best approach because the last thing you want to do in any time, but especially in time of slow economic growth, is to impose more austerity in the private sector. And that's what raising taxes is, it represents. And what you really want is actually to impose austerity in the public sector. You want government to cut spending.
Well, and I love the way you put that, the austerity in the private sector. And so what you're saying is, when people say, well, it's good, we need to cut spending, but we also need to make sure that the rich pay their fair share or whatever nonsense they put out, the idea is, no, what you're going to do, it's not the idea of saying that you're balancing things because we've all got to pay more. No, you got to solve the problem. And the best way to solve the problem is not to raise taxes on the producers. Is that pretty much what it gets to?
Yeah, but I mean, it's also, I mean, beyond, I mean, the sense of aesthetic and balance and moderation and fairness, I think, you know, we're in this mess because government has spent and spent and spent and spent and spent. And the solution is not then to turn around and say, well, whoops, we've spent too much money, now we're going to tax you more. The solution is to reduce spending and just really, I mean, really do it unlike what European countries have done.
Okay, now what have been the results of the balanced approach? I know you've outlined that one of saying cutting spending and raising taxes, but when you just cut spending, do we have a model to go by and not raise taxes? Actually worked?
Sweden of all places, I mean, it's still a big government democracy, but Sweden and the Baltic nations have done exactly the right thing, which is they've refrained from believing in the fiction of Keynesian economics, the fiction that government can spend money to trigger growth. And what they've done instead, they've cut spending and they reduced taxes and their economy is growing. I mean, Sweden is actually a pretty striking example of an economy that really is growing now.
So there's evidence, and
there's
a model.
There's a lot of evidence in the
there's
academic
studies
literature.
Done, right?
Go ahead. I mean, this is the most current example, but there are actually a lot of examples. Canada in the 90s is a very good example of this, where they had a debt to GDP ratio which was like 70%, and they've dramatically cut. Spending. They did a lot of in the 2000 a lot of cut to top marginal rates, and they are now at like something like 29% debt to GDP ratio, and also the academic literature is very clear. I mean, all the economists who have actually looked at what is the best way to reduce the debt-to-GDP ratio, what are the best austerity measure? There's something like 21 studies, they all find the same. You need to cut spending. The balanced approach doesn't work.
What is the election or the, well, the election today? If Governor Walker wins, do you think this bodes well for those other governors to step up and have the courage?
Yeah, I actually think, you know, if a lot of people are saying this is like the second most important election in the country. I actually think this is like the first one, the most important election, because there are a lot of things that goes into a presidential election. But this will show that what we actually know, what the economic literature shows, which is that actually you don't get punished when you do the right thing. You don't get politicians and political parties that have actually engaged in reforms don't get punished at the next election. And in this case in particular, I mean, it will tell the unions, you know, that hopefully their time is, their public, you know, unions are, that their time is over.
Yeah, yeah. It seems that way. If anything, the exposure of the success of the programs is a good thing, getting the truth out there. My only wish is that you interview people like Jay Carney and others and ask them to back up what they say economically, even President Obama. That would be a dream interview. Veronique Desrougiers, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me again. It's always
a pleasure.
You take care.
All right. Crane Durham's Nothing But Truth.